Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Rogue Rebels Podcast. I'm here and we're going to talk some High Republic books because I'm still on a High Republic frenzy jam thing. And I brought a friend to talk with you guys, a very special guest, Silver from Star Wars Thrifting on Instagram, or like, I don't even know how to define what it is that you do, but you're just a really cool person.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel very honored to be here, and I am kind of cool, I guess, but hey, if someone's going to say I'm cool, then I'm with it. Thanks for having me on Rogue Rebels. I am so down, excited to be here talking about High Republic.
Let's get it. We are going to get into Race to Crash Point Tower, written by Daniel Jose Older with art by Peter Antonsen. Daniel Jose Older is like my favorite Star Wars author at the moment, fellow Space Latino, and I am loving like everything that dude puts out.
Hey, we love our Space Latinos, man. And Daniel Jose Older has been representing, giving us some fire stories, mm-hmm. amazing characters that we can easily love. One of my favorite books that he's done is Last Shot, the Han Solo novel, and man, he knows how to take care of characters that we've known, but also, in the case of the High Republic, introducing brand new characters for us to love.
Right, right. He's been doing the High Republic Adventures, too, which is like,
yes.
Also, like, I think I like that line better than the other line right now. Like, and they're both rad, but like,
yeah.
Adventures is dope.
Oh, it's so much fun. I love it.
Yeah, man.
There's just some wittiness to it. It's great.
We got buckets of blood. We got like all kinds of good stuff, man.
Chaos. Okay.
So I didn't explain it, but Star Wars thrifting, like I see you on Instagram and you go to thrift stores and like swap meets and garage sales and stuff. And you always find like, yo, look, check it out. I just found like some really rad find that takes me back to 99 or before. And I'm like, wow, that is cool. Do you remember that? I remember that. I had a Mountain Dew I had a Pepsi with Jar Jar on it once. So that's really cool. Like all the things that you're out like exploring and finding and like, that's cool.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, like I just started this Instagram page about like just stuff. I love going to thrift stores. Going to Goodwills and thrift stores mm-hmm. and going to the flea market with my family is just something that we've done ever since I was a little kid. And it's something that I love going and doing. There's something for me that's so relaxing, just going and looking through stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it might not be for everyone, but it is for me. I love going. And I started to find just really amazing Star Wars things that I love. And as a collector, as a person who absolutely loves Star Wars, I find something so fun just connecting with something that I may see, you know, we say out in the wild, but I just may see at a flea market and be like, hey, yo, this is my thing. So
yeah.
I started collecting and I started sharing it on my Instagram and I realized my aunt could care less kind of what I'm posting. So I said, you know what, I should kind of start like a Star Wars page and just connect with other fans. Yeah. It was during the heart of the pandemic where it was just like very lonely and I want, you know, but it was a great opportunity to kind of just post and people were just really enjoying it. And I think for me, the best thing is when I do get those conversations, like I post, like if I post a toy or I post, you know, a soda can, like you just mentioned, there's just something that it just takes people back to like feeling like nostalgic or like a memory that they forgot about. And it's like, oh my gosh. And it's, you know, for me, I just felt like I was bringing a little pieces of joy through thrifting again building those conversations with other people in the Star Wars community, and it was really fun to really connect that way. And it's been a blast and again like meeting you know folks like yourself and I love Star Wars, I love collecting, and I'm doing it on a budget, so it's been great.
That's like the best part, like, and that's like when I'm doing like I get real up, I'm like I'm frugal. And I get very, but there was a time when, like, when we first started cosplaying, I mean, we still even kind of do it nowadays, you know, but like when we first started and the kids were little and we were like, okay, we got to make four rebels So I need orange, I need gray pants, I need brown pants that I can sew to other brown pants, and you know, a green. All I would do is hit thrift stores.
Oh yeah.
And I would be like, well, this is $4, and if it doesn't work, it was only $4.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
as opposed to trying to order something on Amazon and it's $25.99, and if it doesn't fit, it takes me 2 weeks to return it to try to find another one, or whatever.
Exactly.
And so we would go. I would take the kids to thrift stores all the time. And now, like, Axel's a teenager right now, my son.
Uh-huh.
And now he's kind of in the thing where he, like, wants to go to the thrift store. Like, we'll go to Walmart and he'll be like, $20 for jeans? And I'm like, yeah, but these are, like, new jeans, dude. These are not jeans that have spent 10 years somewhere else. Like, you want new jeans, dude. Don't get me wrong. You could find decent jeans at the thrift store, but come on, bro.
Yeah, come on.
but he likes doing that because he likes to feel like, yeah, hey, man, I found this cool thing. And like, check this out. It's a, you know, I don't know, some cartoon that he used to watch. You know, and he'll be like, hey, can I get this?
There's just something just so fun. Again, like, because you, like, you go to these thrift stores and it's not like a, let's say you go like to... Okay, Target, like, they'll have, like, an inventory of what they already know what's coming. Right. They have catalogs for what they're selling, they're advertising. You have no idea what you're walking into, like, into a thrift store. I think that's, for me, what's the most exciting part is just not knowing. And then if I find something, I'm just like, wow, the force willed it. I was supposed to be here at this time to find this, you know? Like, it's just so, like, it's just very unexpected, and I think that's what's fun.
it's very like Lando's luck. Like, it's very like, you know, fortune. You might get something. You might get it all. You might get gold. You might get nothing. You know?
You might not. You know what? You might walk around with nothing. And people always tell me, like, how do you always find? I said, look, I only post when I find stuff.
right.
Trust me. I'll go and I'll walk out with nothing.
That was the fourth store today. But the four store had a Naboo cruiser, so don't at me.
Yeah, exactly. Yell that Naboo cruiser, though.
Yeah. Serious. That's serious business right there.
That's a very,
Yeah, man. I cannot, like, and even now, like, thinking about, like, my collection is very litter. I don't collect toys so much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I collect the toys that are important. Like, I have the Rebels Black Series guys, and, like, that's it. Oh, like, I don't really, you know, every time something cool, hey, man, there's going to be, like, a Razor Crest. I'm good.
Yeah,
it was cool. It looks great. I'll check it out. I'll come over to your house.
Yeah, look at it. Yeah,
but I'm gonna put aside my $200. If you got a Lego ghost, hit me up. That's cool.
And you know what? For me, I think where I was in the beginning, I felt like I was just grabbing anything that just was Star Wars related. Mm-hmm. But then I had to be like, you know what? It's also taking too much space. I had to really hold out for something special. And just because I posted on Instagram does not mean I bought it.
Fair.
I may just post it and be like, all right, it's going back on the shelf. Cool. Someone else will get it.
I also saw that you did the, like, you have the old starships and, like, just turn them into little planners.
Yes.
Like, and I was like, that's cool.
It's all about repurposing.
That's a reason for me to buy 17 TIE fighters.
Yeah, no, like, for sure. Because, you know, you go to a thrift store, there's parts that are missing, they're broken, and it's like, well, there's already a drainage hole for the soil. Might as well just put some soil and plant and have a nice little, you know, planting pot outside. Mm-hmm. And hey, you know, it's a nice conversation piece when people come over and can kind of show off my Millennium Falcon that's holding some flowers. And just, I don't know, kind of just brings my own little style, I guess, to my yard.
That's cool. That's super cool. Let's see what we got here. Okay, so, like, I guess let's just go ahead and dive into the book now. Like,
let's do it.
I got business. Look, you can check us out at theroguerebels.com. You can go like our Facebook page. We're on Instagram at TheRogueRebels and TikTok, I believe. And we have, nope, that's old. And we have a Twitter, and it's Rogue Rebels Fam. That's what it is. Hey, share podcasts, follow people. We have Spotify playlists, so all High Republic episodes are on a Spotify playlist. All Bad Batch episodes, Spotify playlist. This episode is also a book that's going on the book playlist. So if there's a certain thing you like in Star Wars, I got you. Go check Spotify, check the Rogue Rebels playlists, and I guarantee you there's one for you, hopefully. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
I am currently on Instagram at Star Wars _thrifting, also on Twitter, the same handle. And also, you can find me on my YouTube channel at Star Wars Thrifting, where I post videos of my thrifting adventures.
Sweet. Awesome. So, what are we talking about? Race to Crash Point Tower. That's what we're doing. It's a book, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. I love the pacing of, like, YA and middle grade novels, because, like all Star Wars books are cool, right? But, like, sometimes the really big ones are so dense and there's so much stuff going on. It's not like it gets overwhelming. It can. But it's also, like, it is such a cool breath of fresh air sometimes to read this little stories that it's like, nah, this is about a dude. He got a speeder. He trying to help and fix this thing. And there's trouble. Yep. So, like, these young readers and middle grades and the YA books, I feel like sometimes they get that, like, Star Wars energy a lot compact than the bigger, you know, novels that are more weighted down, you know?
No, absolutely. And again, nothing against the bigger novels. I absolutely enjoy all of them. But yeah, they can get a little, because, you know, there's so much, you know, going on, or, you know, it's all up, you know, or they're introducing a new species or, you know, whatnot. It's kind of a little, it could be overwhelming. What I've, and again, that's just preference maybe. But for me, I know for sure when I read, like, the adult, like, novels, I will get the audiobook and, read along with the book, just to kind of, like, really just, like, and I think that's just me just having, like, a crazy, like, brain. Sometimes I just, like, hard for me to focus a little bit, but that's kind of what's been really helpful for me. But I totally agree with you as far as I've enjoyed the pacing for the both young adult novels and these middle school grade books. Because yeah, they are really condensed, and you know, you do get that Star Wars, you know, flavor and what really makes a great Star Wars story in these books. And but yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
It's just like, it's simple, it's fun, it moves. And it's rad. Like I said before, DJ Elder right now is like one of my favorite authors. And I think the one that really, like, put him on my radar in a big way, like, I dug Last Shot and everything, but I think it was the, what was it called? From a Certain Point of View. And that's the one that's like, it's an anthology of 40 stories from, like, A New Hope. And it's like a jillion different characters. And so, like, they gave us the little descriptions or whatever, right? And I'm like flipping through and I'm like, oh, cool. You know, this one is about Yoda, or this one is about, ooh, this one's Dr. Aphra. And then I'm like, okay, another stormtrooper, you know, and I'm like going through the thing, and you know, there's 40 stories, and I'm guaranteeing you, when you look at this book, there's probably a few that you're like, cool, cool, cool. And a few that you're like, I'll check it out. So the one about the stormtrooper, I was like, eh. And then it was about this stormtrooper who, like, loves Dubaks. And it was like, it had this totally unique tone, and he did the audiobook. So when I checked out the audiobook, like, he was he also has his own, like, I don't even know how to describe it, but his, like the stories read with his unique voice. Mm-hmm. And then when he's doing the audiobook on top of it, like, it's so authentic. I don't know what else to say or, like, how else to call it, but, like, it's so authentic and just, like, real that it just comes across, like, straightforward. And I love it. Like, the voice.
Yeah, that's awesome. This is from the first certain point of view. Okay, yeah, I need to check that out, because I read the Empire Strikes Back one.
Right.
But I'm gonna have to check that out, and I'm gonna have to check out the audio. More enticing.
Also, another secret: get like 7 library cards, and then look for the audiobooks there.
Perfect.
That's what I do. In the Empire Strikes Back, the story he did is called Stet, and it's like, I got it down to one sentence because I couldn't figure out. But when I kept trying to explain the story to people, it gets so confusing. It's a story about a journalist who does an interview on Forlom and Zuckuss for their charitable efforts, getting edited by the editor droid. Like, while it's live broadcast or something. And it sounds as ridiculous as it is.
As it is, yeah.
And it's, like, also another one of those things where, like, I actually did an interview with him for a Rebel Legion thing a while, like, a couple of months ago. And one of my questions was like, how do you even like you have these two ideas that like on paper, I don't want to say sound bananas, bro, but like where do you come up with this? And then like, once you come up with something like this, how do you move forward with it? And his answer was kind of like, I mean, like, that's something that I can get away with for like 15 pages. Like, you know, when I'm doing a full book, I kind of got to like, you know, like find something. But when I'm like just having fun and I do a short story, I can kind of go off and if it works, you know, it's like really, really cool for 15 pages. And it's fine because I probably wouldn't even be able to keep it up more than that. And if it doesn't work, like, you know, it wasn't like a whole book, like it was just my little part and we're all good.
Exactly. Just my little part because no one was filling the story. Still, don't worry. There's 39 more stories. There you go.
Maybe you will like the Kevin Scott one better. I don't know.
Exactly. And you know what? Just to kind of, you know, jump on that, I just want to say, like, point out that these High Republic authors are just having the time of their life.
Yes.
And it just totally shows. And I'm just loving High Republic Twitter because it is just fun times. I mean, y'all, if you guys want to have some positive and just enjoy mm-hmm. new fresh stories, fresh takes, these authors are just having a blast with these stories.
Straight up.
it's just such a good time. I'm just loving this this whole entire era right now.
Listeners, hear me. You know I will not point you at Twitter most of the time. This case, You want to check out High Republic Twitter. Like,
everything High Republic Twitter is
fantastic.
Exactly.
And not only that, like, you were talking about how the authors really care. And I mm-hmm. think that's a thing that, like, we're seeing more in Star Wars nowadays. And I don't know if it just has to do with, like, you know, like, a generation that's been raised on it or, you know, whatever. Like, but, like, seeing the care and love and attention that these people have for what they're creating, like, mm-hmm. I almost feel like I can see it come off the page or mm-hmm. TV screen or whatever it is that they're creating. You know what I mean? Like, absolutely. I feel the same way when I hear, like E.K. Johnston talk about Padme. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, when I read those books, I know that she has thought about this for 20 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Things like that. And that's something that's, like, really, 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 really good lately. It's been happening in Star Wars a lot. Like, not just with the books. It's been happening with, like, you know, the Bad Batch. I can tell that these people, you know, like, there was an episode not too long ago where they're like sneaking around in like a new Empire base, and like the music cues are like from A New Hope along with the blaster sounds and like very just familiar little things like that, little touches
Yeah, no, totally. And I think you bring up a great point. Like, I think it's just like this now, it's like we're just in a generation where, you know, Star Wars was introduced, you know, 40 plus years ago, but mm-hmm. then you have like all these creators who were young and now, like, you know, they are, you know, they get to play in this huge playground of creating stories. And I think that's what's just so fun. And I feel bad for those who don't unfortunately see it that way, but it's like, look, like, you know, this is their take. This is, you know, how can you like not see like the mm-hmm. passion, mm-hmm. the love, you know, just even like, again, we talk about these writers who just put so much respect in the characters that they're writing because, you know, they care for the story just as well. And for this world that, you know, this whole galaxy that they, you know, that started with George Lucas. Now mm-hmm. we have so many people who get to play in it. And like you just brought up the music, the Kiner brothers with the, you know, with mm-hmm. the Bad Batch, like just the fact that they can even like bring those themes from like, you know, the you know, from all these movies from the past and just bring that into their own twist. Or, you know, even Kevin Scott having a great time writing about rancors, like, you know, mm-hmm. this is just you know, everyone's just enjoying again, this is just this huge giant galaxy and you know, they're taking advantage that they have a part in bringing, you know, these stories to life. And this book that we're talking about is intended for middle school readers, mm-hmm. but you know, just like I'm sure that you enjoyed it, I enjoyed it as well. It's really made for everybody. And again, like, you know, this is just, it's, I don't know, it's just a really fun time to be a Star Wars fan. And definitely. Yo, if you are just not enjoying it. I don't know what to tell you, man, because there's a lot of it.
Yeah,
There's a lot to enjoy.
I don't know what to tell you. It's almost like this collector's mentality of like, I am going to keep my thing in a package and it will never change. And it's like change scares everybody. And I guess if you don't dig a thing, like that's fine. Don't dig your thing, but don't act like your world is ruined, bro. Just watch those same three movies over and over. You know
I
what
know.
I want? I want new things.
Yeah, exactly.
You
Like,
know?
Look, you can watch those three movies any way you want. It's on Disney Plus for you, okay? You don't want Disney Plus? I'm sure you have your VHS, you know, little box set you can, you know, still put on.
Bring
so.
Out the laser discs. Let's do
yeah.
it. Yeah. You can do whatever you want, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, in this book in particular, I think I really like, I love the main characters. And I love the characters from the comics coming into it. And
That's
there's some
awesome.
Really, really, really great interactions between them. And like, you know, they're all Padawan. Like, spoilers, the books is all about Padawans. And it happens during, what's the other one? The Rising Storm.
Rising Storm.
And it's just, it's like a lot smaller and self-contained and has its own little like mission. But the characters are really, really enjoyable. And they're very like Older does a really good job of giving you these characters that are unique. But they also feel real and grounded and like. People that you might know, or you know what I mean, like they're very relatable, and
exactly.
I like that he brings that to a lot of his books, but in this book in particular, like these young characters are like if I'd read this when I was 10, I probably would have loved it, probably, you know, like that this probably would have been my favorite thing in the world.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's just so much fun, and I don't know, it's just again, like we talked about the pacing and and it does stand on its own, you know, it does you know, it does kind of go alongside Rising Storm because I did read Rising Storm, but it's not like a companion book where it's just like the, you know, you're following pretty much, you know, it's not like, because there is books that come out that let's say, oh, it's just a junior novel for this book. And it's almost like the same exact thing. No, like you, let's say you didn't read Rising Storm and you just read this book first. It really does stand on its own. You know, yeah, reading Rising Storm and reading like the High Republic Adventures, you do kind of get that experience, like, you know, just like, oh yeah, so-and-so's there, or, oh, I remember when that happened, those kind of experiences, but it really just does stand on its own. And, I just really like the themes, especially in this book. And again, it's intended for, you know, just like the middle school reader and, you know, just the characters that are introduced, like Ram, you know, Ram, Gemma Ram, dope name. First of all, that's I love that name. I'm like, Ram. I feel like if I had a friend, I'd be like, Ram, Gemma Ram. Like, I would just be, I would just, that's all. I would just, if I knew, I'd just be calling him out like that. Ram, Gemma Ram,
forever.
Ready to jam. It's just, these characters are just so relatable. And, you know, we all, you know, especially for this age group, I feel like, you know, we're, first of all, this book just shows how resilient kids can be and that they are. And, you know, having to rise to an occasion where you're just like, you know, you're scared or you're nervous. And, you know, or more like, you know, with Ram, I just really connected with the character Ram where I was just like, you know, he's just like, just wants to chill in his garage and like, you know, do his little mechanic stuff. And like, dude, I feel that some way sometimes, like, hey, you know, don't bother me. I just want to chill here. Like, you know, he's not like Luke Skywalker. We're introduced to Luke Skywalker, just looking in the horizon. Like, I want great adventure, where Ram was more like a, you know what? I just kind of want to chill in this garage. And, you know, I love doing what I'm doing. And, you know, he was kind of scared of a confrontation a little bit, but, yeah, these characters are just so relatable. And I think for any, you know, again, I think it's for any reader, you know,
for sure.
I'm 32 and I'm over here like, man, I totally relate to this character.
Old man approves of book. So it is written. dude, like Ram rocks. And I love that, like, because High Republic has kind of been doing this, how they take, like, they don't give us the same archetypes that we've already, like, we've already had Luke and like most of the Jedi we meet is all these kids that want adventure or hunger for knowledge or power or whatever it is. And like, you know, like this, they kind of started in, what was the other one? Into the Dark.
Into the Dark.
How Wreath Silas is kind of like, hey, I like books, but I don't like going. Can we just stay at the Coruscant Temple? I just really like, I want to be an archivist.
Yes.
Also an archivist, coolest guy in the Rising Storm.
Totally.
Anyway, Ramjamram just likes mechanic stuff, and like his force sort of power, like he likes, he's like, hey, I'm not going to be the lightsaber guy. I don't need all that event. Dude, I'll stay here. I'll fix y'all ships. I will just chill and meditate with floating engines and stuff like that. And that's rad to see that, like, a little more of that, like, outside mentality of that hero, because not everybody's always trying to, like, get at that and be, not everybody's running towards the horizon like Luke. And it's good to see that. And that's why these characters maybe feel a little more real. You know what I mean? Like, in moments like that where you're like, hey, I like chilling in my room and, you know, messing with my phone or whatever. You know, I don't know. Like you compare yourselves sometimes in times like this to these characters.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Ram is definitely someone that, you know, easily relatable. And I think that's what really, like, kicked off the story for me. Like, I mean, just the first chapter, I already fell in love with this character.
Yeah.
And again, it's just really how he's written. And then just, this is just how, like, you can really fly through this book.
Definitely.
Because again, you just, I'm telling you, that first chapter, I was already hooked.
Right. I'm just going to yell spoilers. We're going ahead with spoilers. I forgot to say it earlier. Spoilers time. Cause who cares? We're talking.
Oh, whoops.
So let's go. Hey, if they're still listening, they're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, man. He's like in the garage with Bond Brax, and his droid is rad.
V-18, yeah.
Dude, V-18 is the dopest.
V-18 comes in clutch a couple times in the story.
V-18, they turn V-18 into a speeder. Like,
I love it. I mean, can we get a droid that turns into a speeder? Like, come on.
Like, and it's like one thing when, like, Ezra jumps on Chopper's back. No, they threw, like, speeder things on this guy.
Yeah, I know. He was like a functioning speeder. Like, hey, I gotta travel somewhere. I'm taking my droid.
I mean, look, they didn't put brakes on him for a minute, but still.
I love it.
And then his little home. So it's like Ram, his droid, and the guys that live in the garage are these little kind of like bat / rat creatures.
Yeah,
Bond Brax.
The Bond Brax. Uh-huh. Yeah, the Bond Brax.
But they seem like all cool, and they're like tiny little mechanics, and all they do is like, when he's like, hey, can we try something, they're like, yeah, we could get that, like, and then they just go, like, they know what he's trying to do before he's even done it. He's like, hey, I'm thinking of you know, putting an engine booster on this droid. Cool.
Yeah,
got it, it'll be ready. And I just think it's rad that his, like, little crew has got him, like, and there's a couple of times in the book where, I don't know, V-18 gets, you know, damage, or they need to upgrade him or fix something, and he basically leaves them with the Bond Brax, and they're like, we got this, we'll be back in half an hour. And then they, like, fly in later. Hey, it's the guys.
Yeah, you gotta have a crew that, you know, I think, like any mechanic, you always have, like, some, like, the garage crew, you know.
Yes. Like, I was waiting for, like, the last time that they flew in was just to be, like, bumping whatever Bond Brax listened to in the garage.
The Bond Brax. Oh,
like,
my god.
Okay, we also threw him a speaker. Like,
we upgraded.
Uh-huh. Said, like, we don't worry, we fixed the thing. We put brakes on him, but now.
Yeah, right.
So I thought that was gonna be rad, but
yeah, I love it.
Whatever. There's always a new book, right?
Yeah.
But, like, he's chilling in his little garage, and I guess, like, the droid comes to tell him that, like, you know, the proximity alarm on the comm tower is gone off. And then he's like, well, the comms are acting like funny. Like, cause I guess normally it's not a big deal. It's like, oh, maybe it was like an animal or something got, you know, a bird flew into the sensor. So he ends up going out to the comm tower, and he finds Niall, and he kind of like chases him out. Like, they start running, but they throw something to the tower, and he's like, that looks weird. And then drives by, and then they, like, escape, cause they're able to, like, jump from hyperspace with an Atmo, because we know they have their crazy path engines. And he's like, what is going on? He tries to go back and, like, figure it out. And he's like, well, like, I think they ruined the thing, but I need to go tell somebody about this. But the whole, like, adventure, he's, like, on his speeder. And V-18's like, we got this. And then, like, you know, he's like, he's got to bust out his lightsaber. So he's like, oh, man, I don't want to fight these guys, but I got to stop them.
I know. The guy, Ram does not like confrontation.
Yeah, and that's like his first one in the book, so he's like, but I gotta do what I gotta do.
But I gotta do it.
He got the job done. He got him out.
Yeah, for sure.
And then we also catch up with Lula and Zine.
And Zine, who are from the High Republic Adventure yes. comics.
Which is, like I said before, it's my favorite. That thing is bomb.
Yeah.
I mean, I just put little pictures of them just because it, like, helps me when I'm looking at things. But yeah. I've got to say, I'm loving, like, the like, costuming designs of, like, mm-hmm. the High Republic style. All the Padawans, they seem to have, like, a little, like, their little obi is, like, a nice little flare color of their saber color.
Yeah, so, I like, love it.
Yeah, Lula's got this little, like, blue kind of obi around her, like, under her belt. And she's got a blue saber. And Ram has a yellow one. And he's got a yellow saber.
And I just think feel, it's rad. Yeah, and like they just have like it almost goes with like their you know who they are like everything's yeah, just so yeah. different like you know we've seen like you know like it's not just like the plain robe and you know right, just like right. the tunics it's like no like there's like style it's everything
oh yeah they got embroidery
it's, like, different. I love it uh-huh. like this is like fun
yeah they got it going they got like imprinted belt buckles like they got all kinds yeah. of stuff.
So cool.
Yeah, I'm loving the looks, cool. and I hope we get to see, like, I mean, we've seen a lot of her because she's in the comic, mm-hmm. so, but I like that they've done this and they've released, like, a lot of these pictures. That way, when I am reading the book, I'm like, yo, Porter Angle! I know what he looks like! So,
Porter Angle.
Yeah. Like, this is rad, and I hope they continue to keep doing that, like, in the little YouTube shorts and stuff.
Yeah, I love it. All that it. Stuff is yeah. good.
Keep it coming, High Republic people over at Star Wars. Keep
it coming. Yeah, we love it. Give it all. Especially, yeah, all these art reveals are just mm-hmm. like the best. Like, you're just like, that's what they look like.
I will take it. Thank you, High Republic yeah. show. I appreciate yes, you.
For sure.
let's see. What else we got? Oh, so they go back to Triment 4, which is where Zine yeah, is from.
Yeah,
which is,
Zine's home.
That in the beginning of the comic series, it's like attacked by the Nile, mm-hmm. and they kind of save the planet. But it still kind of gets a little wrecked up. So when they yeah. go back, like, it's pretty messed up. Like, it's no longer green and it's like turning into a desert, and they have to wear masks when they go there. That so sucks,
sad.
Dude.
It's really sad. And just imagine, like, again, like, you just put yourself in the character positions. Like, yeah. these characters are very young, you know?
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
just to see, like, that's, you know, she's distraught, you know? Yeah. She's heartbroken and, you know, also lost a friend because yeah. the friend decided to, you know, dip out.
I mean, he's a jerk. You could let him go, though, but yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. Yeah, get him. Yeah, no, absolutely. Big jerk. But, like, uh-huh. you know, that's tough for, yeah, it's, you know.
Don't make it easier.
When you lose friendships at that age, it's mm-hmm. just, it's trauma. Yeah. It's just traumatizing, you know. It's just, that's your whole world. And, you know, like, for her seeing her home, like, that's, you know, it's really yeah. tough. For sure.
So they get a little mission briefing from Vernestra, which is from
A Test of Courage.
She's been in a bunch of books now, actually, right? What the other one happens now, after.
Yeah, she's now in
Out of the Shadows. After. Yeah.
Yeah, Out of the Shadows, okay. Yes.
But so she's like, hey, like we need to there's a Nile thing. I heard you guys were chasing the Nile, so maybe come help me out with this. She says mm-hmm. Farzala and Court are busy because right now comics are happening with them being busy.
Love it.
And yeah. Let's see. Oh, so they end up going back to her city and they meet with an elder who says something like, because they're asking about the Nile, and he says like that the Nile maybe started there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of crazy and cool. Like, because we don't know, like all we know is like there are these guys, and we know that Markion Rowe has a lot of, like, we're still kind of uncovering that. Even if you read all the books, you still don't have the full picture.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's like kind of like scratching the surface a little bit each time.
And that's definitely a thing that I am interested in. So, like, you know, the Nile and Ro and all of that. So they say something like, there was an infection. Like, the elder talks about the Nile. Well, they started as an infection with us and we cut them off. And instead of dying, they grew into their own thing. Is what he makes it sound like.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. I don't know what to take from that, but I am very curious to see if we learn any more about it.
Where I'm sure we will have to learn more about that, because, again, the Nile, I just feel like once you just feel like you figure them out, it's just like, man, they become more and more, I mean, just more scary.
Yeah.
I feel like each time it's like, whoa, you guys are, it's pretty nuts. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, and it's like such a simple thing, but it's also such a hard thing to do. Like, you know, if you've been a Star Wars fan for as long as I have, like, you've gone through these, like, oh no, what is it? It's another guy with a red lightsaber. Like, you know, like, it's really hard to find an enemy for Jedi that isn't just a bad Jedi, or, you know, like, you find yourself in these, say, oh, it's another super weapon that can blow up the entire galaxy or whatever, you know, like, and the Drengir and the Nile are both really unique. Like, they're very simple ideas, but they also come at the Jedi in ways that they aren't used to and we aren't used to seeing, which really does up those stakes and make you feel like, oh, cool. Oh, because they're hyperspace crazy. Oh, because they have these weird stims and they have smash parties. Oh, because they, whatever, you know, like, they have all of these little things that give them an edge on Jedi that the Jedi don't see coming. And I like that.
Yeah, because, I mean, we didn't see it coming. You know, exactly. We just want, again, like you said, we've been Star Wars fans, you know, for a very long time. And then, you know, you see, like, an enemy, like, you're not used to. I'm just as, like, I feel like I'm in that position as a Jedi. Like, I have no idea what these things are capable of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, each time they're upping their game. But, they just like, want complete chaos. It's almost like, where Marcion Rowe does have, you know, he does have, you know, his purpose and the reason behind it, that's still like, oh man, I just, this character, his character is just so fascinating to me. And oh my goodness, I love it. But yeah, I mean, you just have all the, you know, he has this complete, like, the Nihil who are just like, just ravenous, and they're just, you know, just like, out for blood. And then, you know, the Drengir are also. I mean, they're hungry most of the time, but.
The Drengir in this book are, like, way funnier than the Drengir in the other book.
I was laughing. I was just like, when I was reading everything that happened with the Drengir, I was like, dude, this is wild and crazy. And I'm loving every, like, absurd. It's, like, insane.
So I kept up with, like, a lot of the panels and all that stuff. Like, when they were, okay, well, they're going to be the Nile. And they're, like, you know, and then they're going to be fighting the Drengir. And so I knew that they were murderous, flesh-eating plants. But when I read, what was it, Into the Dark, where you first meet the Drengir, that's where you, I didn't realize they talked. So that's the first one where they were like, what's up? Like, they're like, well, hold on, what? Like, they talk? And then I think even in that book, they were like walking out with weapons. Like, they had weapons too, I think, at one point. Like, and so I was like, hold on, that's not what I,
Something happens in this book where it's just wild, and I hope we get I know we're gonna get to it, but goodness,
I don't want to kill it, but I do want to get there. I have the same thing in mind. Ram figures that the comms are down, and he's like, I gotta go tell everybody, but, like, nobody's at Republic headquarters because the fair has started and everybody's at the fair. His master's at the fair, and he can't get over to the fair because there's so much, like, hustle and bustle that he can't even, like, get there. So he's trying to, like, sneak around. And he gets busted, and they don't believe him that he's a Jedi because he's all, you know, shabby in his, like, garage-stained,
garage stuff, robes.
And he's like, bro, I'm a Jedi. And they're like, like, looking all dirty. And
time
not
to go sit in jail.
And they arrest him, dude. But he gets a message out. Before he gets arrested, he, like, uses a mind trick, but he's not that good at it. And this is, like, the hilarious part where he's like, there's one line that I remember where it's like, you know, they get the message and they're like, oh, somebody from, like, Valo City is hitting us up. And it's like, what, the guy's like, the comm tower is removed, has been replaced. And he's like, no, 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 a sabotage. The sabotage has been comms tower. And it, like, goes on. Like,
he's
on,
close enough.
And he's like, he keeps trying to get it. And eventually he, like, you know, eventually the guy comes to and arrests him, and they end up in lockup. Which sucks if you're a little Jedi just trying to do your job and you're like,
yeah, you're all, dang, dude.
Yeah.
As if my day can't get any worse.
That's my master right there, dude. Like, just ask him. He'll tell you,
ask
man.
Him.
You can't even. Man, Master Cooper! Like, you can't even hear me over all the hustle and bustle.
I know. Just
and
chaotic.
Chancellor making a speech and everything.
Yeah.
So he gets locked up. Vernestra and Lula follow the elders' word and, like, go check out a moon or something, and they're like, oh, look, there's the Nile. And then, like, the Nile all book out, and they're like, okay, well, we found them, but they left. And that's when they get the message from him. And then he gets locked up. And he gets locked up across the cell from Mantessa and Ty Yorick, Which, love if you read it. The other book, you're like,
Love it.
Yeah. So, that's the part that really, like, that, I guess Ty Yorick would be the character that really overlaps. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah. I'm just a sucker for Ty Yorick. I just found, so cool. But yeah, when I read that part, I was like, I know what part we're talking about.
If you read The Rising Storm, she kind of disappears and shows back up. So in this book, when she disappears is when she's here, and then when she shows back up is when she leaves over here and goes back over there. And she does show back up in this book later too.
Yeah, no, so, it's like, such, so I love, like, the little connectivity is so much fun. So enjoyable.
So you have him locked up with her, and like, the whole thing, of course, is anytime anything happens with something like this, you know, she does something and he's like, oh, you're a Jedi. And she's like, I'm not a Jedi. And he's like, oh, you're not a Jedi, you know? And then, like, they sort of start escaping. And then a second later, like, Lula and V-18 bust in. And then Lula's like, oh, you're not a Jedi. And it's like the same thing starts over again.
I love it. Like, it's just, like, so comical. Yeah.
And this is the line that, if you follow DJ Elder on Twitter, this is the one where he was like, I wrote a line that was like, even now I can't even think about it without laughing, where the guy shoots a Mon Cal, or it's in the book, it's Ty. He's like, a character shoots a Mon Cal and is like, sweet dreams, sweet seafood. And it's like, yo, like, the fact that you could be a Star Wars author and you could just come up with something to be like, yeah, dude, this is like the best thing in the world that I enjoy for myself, and I get to put this in a book.
So if you guys, if you guys do read this book, it is on page 104 because I did highlight it and I did bookmark it because this is probably the best thing. And I did put on the little note on there and it says, thank you, DJ Older. For sweet dreams, sweet seafood. Like, that is something that's just like, nuts. It's so much fun.
It will live forever in our hearts.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope yours as well. Let's see. The attack began. Okay, so like, while they're locked up is when the like big battle starts.
Yes.
And then I guess like they start to, like, a Nile busts in and starts killing the guards. And they mind trick that guy to try to get out. But all they mind trick him to do is to go fight the other guys. And he just goes and starts killing the other. So, and then, like, yeah. And so they sort of like make a big mess. And then they start to get out. And then that's when Lula busts in the wall with like a V-18 with new stuff.
It's just a wild ride. I mean, this is just, I mean, you're constantly... And it's
like, you're visualizing this. And it all happens so fast that I'm like, oh, hold on. Like, what happened? Like...
But, wait, like, can we get like some sort of animation, like cartoon, on this like episode of just like this book, because it's just nuts. It is
a thing of wonder to visualize all of this. It is. So Lula's kind of like Lula's not too happy about this. Lula's like, you are not. She doesn't like the Ty not a Jedi thing.
Yes. Oh, yeah, sorry. She's a little suspicious. Like,
I skipped over the part when Vern and Lula get there. They have a really, really, really good scene. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can see, like, when Vern meets Lula, Vernestra, she doesn't like it when you call her Vern. Yeah. When Vernestra meets Lula, Lula is kind of like Vernestra's the prodigy. She's the only Jedi Knight that's been as young as 16 in a thousand years or something. And, Lula is also like a prodigy, like, I'm gonna be the best Jedi, but she's like almost like Vern's age, and Vern's already done it, so she's a little bit like already, I don't even know if like intimidated is the word, but very like kind of jealous too, like some non-Jedi feelings are coming to the surface with her interactions, right?
Yeah, no, for sure.
So she ends up like asking, like, how did you even do this, and like, I'm messing up, like, I'm scared for my friends, like, mm-hmm. We're supposed to be Jedi. We're supposed to not have attachments, and I can already feel that I'm worried for my people, so I must be a bad Jedi. And Vernestra gives her a speech about balance, how it's like, no, you can't, like, it's not about not caring about people. Do you hear that, Jedi of current generation?
Yeah, no, she does. She does say that, you know, she is, because she's like, you're not scared, and, you know, Vernestra does say, hey, you know, I am scared, you know, but there is a balance, you know, and she says along the lines, like, we can't be courageous. And, you know, the thing is, you might make your, sometimes you'll make mistakes, but if you're overcome by being scared all the time, you'll be kind of like useless to it
Yeah,
also.
like
So
if
like you
you're too
gotta,
scared, then you're useless. And if you're not ever scared, then you can never be brave.
yeah,
You know?
exactly. And
Yeah.
this just kind of, we kind of, we stress about like just how like this is just a great, just kind of like the age range that this book was kind of heading towards. And yeah, you did mention like there is kind of like a little bit of like competition a little bit. Because like all kids, you just kind of have like, like let's say like, I have two sisters, right? And there's always some sort of like, competition, especially if you're closer in age and you see one kind of like, kind of a little ahead than the other, you're kind of like, really down and hard on yourself and like, how can you do this? And I'm struggling with it. And it was actually a really great, really nice conversation to see these two young Jedi actually have.
That was definitely one of my favorite parts is like their
Absolutely.
interactions. You know, it's really, really well done. And it's not like done in a weird like no, like there's a 'cause Vernestra has a master, like she is a master technically, but it's also she don't treat the kids like she's a master. You know, she doesn't act like I'm so much better. Like she comes at her really real and she just says, "Hey, look, man, like this is what it is. I'm scared too. Like having attachments isn't a bad thing. Like when your attachments overcome your duty and yourself and start to, you know, that's when it's bad. Like it's
That's when
okay
it's
to, you
bad.
should care about things. You should live and laugh and love and all that. Like, and that was really, really cool to hear. And it's another one of those things of like, man, the Jedi nowadays suck. Like,
Yeah,
you
like
know?
honestly, like, and you know what? People always mention this, like, like Anakin should have been in the, set during the High Republic, because his outcome would have been totally different. And it's like, yeah, you actually you see a lot of the you, what I really have been really enjoying about all these books is the relationships between the masters and like their Padawan learners, and or and you're just they just there's just some sort there's this it's almost like you get like that really like parental feeling. They're not always like, oh, go meditate on it then, There's always like some sort they have like a deep connection obviously. And yeah, but for me what I really enjoy with these books is just like a lot of the character moments between, again, between these Jedi with that they have with each other. Because, especially again, these Jedi, they still have a lot to, they're still learning and stuff like that. But again, I'm gonna kind of go back to the beginning of the book where Ram does have a moment with his master. And he does say things, he gives him, he actually kind of says a very nice, telling him, hey, you must see things for the whole, and each part plays its role, not for what you want it to be, but not for what you fear it to be, just for what it is. And that's just really just big stuff. That's just some really powerful words. And again, like a lot of these, what I think what really makes these stories just so compelling and fascinating, just more like again like these character moments that they have with each other. I mean, they're still trying to figure it out,
Yeah, for
and
sure.
these are just two almost like they kind of have like that same pathway going right now. They're still learning, they're still very young, and these are just it's nice to kind of just sometimes you do get like nice advice from someone your age.
Yeah, the relationships
But
for sure are just
for
like
sure,
so
so
like
good.
really, really good. And I like that, like the Vernestra stuff on balance and Master Kunpar's like the whole for the whole speech. Like that really like thematically kind of like fits like you know because Ram wants to stay and he wants to focus on his garage and he wants to stay in his little thing and like you know going beyond that is how you help like he learns this like in the book but it's I love the way that they sort of explain it because those are things that like are useful in our real lives like that's something that my kids could learn or I could learn you know what I mean like that's something that I like that about Star Wars books too that a lot of this stuff is good for people. Like,
Yeah, no,
you know?
they're really good, they're really good lessons. And yeah, like you got to find a balance. Like you will be scared, with these again, with all these characters are going through in this story. It's really terrifying. I know we were there's a lot going on for any, one to be afraid.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's also everyone has a part to play.
Exactly.
You know, you're all part of a moving piece, and you have a role to play. And, you know, like you said, thematically, I think these are just great themes. Yeah. You know, just we all have a part, you know. Like, and
yeah, that's actually like some of my favorite stuff, like even in Rebels. Like, I love that, like, and it's like a, there's like one trailer line that's not even in the episodes of season four, where Kanan is going like, we were meant to be Jedi so we could be here when Lothal needs us most. Like, and I love the idea that, like, the thing that Jedi do is they're able to be in the right place at the right time to turn the tide when it matters, you know? And just like these guys just finding their own, hey, you're really good at building things. I hope that comes in handy soon. You know,
For sure.
So they escape, they like get out. Lula ends up going to find him, and Vern goes off to find like Cantum Sai and Zine, like the other ones. Like, so they kind of split up, and that's how Lula ends up busting in the wall at the prison that we talked about before.
Yeah.
So they escape sort of into the city, and now it's like Lula and Ram, and he knows where to go. So she's like trying to get him to the comm tower. But like the Nile attack is all fog, like the whole city's fogged up because it's that poison fog. So they all have like gas masks and stuff, which they grab off of the like Niles that they beat up.
Came in handy.
Yeah. And so they're like running, but you can't even like, they're talking about how they can't even like see people. And, you know, it's the same thing like in The Rising Storm, if you've kept up with that book. Like, it's very disorienting for anybody. They can't find their way through the city, even though he knows the city. Except they kind of do, because he's like, they're like, where are we now? Oh, we're by the zoo. Guess what? Big monsters. And like these two Nile are like, oh man, we're going to take a look at these little Jedi. We're going to like kill them. And then like they get eaten by the big monsters, which is hilarious. And of course, that's what's going to happen. So Ram gets the idea to like get on the roofs. So they get on the roofs and they're like jumping roofs because they can see a little bit better. The fog is lower. And then I think they like steal a speeder and end up, they find like a ship, they have a face off, and then Ty Yorick comes back on the Sandval on the dragon, and she's like, no, I brought you guys a dragon too, and Zine is on the other dragon.
Just a lot is just, it's so, I mean, when they showed up with these, I was just like, this is insane. But, you know, it makes sense because, you know, the Rising Storm and stuff. But, but yeah, when she shows up with the gigantic sandball, I was just like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And you can communicate with them through the forest. Like, I just love sentient like beings like that. They just come in handy.
It's so rad. And I love it's that,
so
like,
good.
This is one of those, like, you know, if you pull that little High Republic video apart, like we did 2 years ago when it was released, there was like dinosaurs on the board that everybody circled. And now we have Jedi riding around dragons, things like flying dinosaurs. And you're like, yeah.
Love it. Like, this is just like, this is just an energy we all need. Everyone, this is just like, this is just a mood. Like, we all need to have like that. Like, I need to be on a Jedi, like riding a freaking like dinosaur. Like, it's insane. So a big reptile. Like, so sick. Yeah.
So they all get on. Like, I think they all get their own or something. Like, but he gets on with Zine. And then there's like the moment of like, oh, like you can use the force here. Oh, no, I'm not a Jedi. Oh, okay, cool. Like, like there's another of those little like moments of confusion.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, I'm not a Jedi. Let's clarify this, everyone.
Cool. Let's ride. But I think there's like one part where he talks about, he's like, like, I think it says something in the book where like, man, Ram kind of hates hanging out with people because he's always has to explain things and it gets exhausting. And it almost seems like this is the part of the book where he's kind of getting more comfortable. He's like, okay, all right, not a Jedi. No, we're good. Let's go. Like,
yeah, I love it.
You know. So they ride out to Crash Point Tower. And of course, what is Crash Point Tower? Covered in Drengir. And they're like, what is going on? So like Ram and Zine jump off the dragon to like go try to fix it. Cause Ram's the one who knows how to do technical stuff. And Lula is flying around with the Sandval as a distraction and like taking out Nile ships and all kinds of dope stuff, right? She like jumps off at one point and is like falling through the air and like taking out ships and then jumping. Like, this is some Ahsoka style stuff. She's
love
like,
it.
Yeah, this is like Siege of Mandalore style.
Yeah, just fly. Yeah, literally just flying like in the air. Like, let's go.
Jump into the next one. Okay, took out that one. Exactly. Next. Help my little pilot friend. Thanks, I'm Commander.
You, we need some sort. Yeah. I love that part. And oh my gosh, that's so like good. My favorite.
So good.
Yeah, we need some sort of like visual. Like, give me like some short. We need some sort of like visual anything for this because it's so good.
this is good times. So this is like when it really starts hitting the fan. Mm-hmm. So they're on there and like everything's overgrown and the Drenji are there. And they're like, we're going to eat you guys like meat and all this stuff. And they're talking to them and the Drenji are like, wow, who can speak meat? And they're like, we're doing it right. And they're talking to each other.
I can't.
They're like,
I can't.
And like, I think Ram at one point is trying to like do technical stuff. And so he gives his lightsaber to Zine to be like, hey, hold him off while I'm doing this. And then they're like, meats are exchanging weapons or something like that. And I was like, what?
It's like, what is happening? There's a lot of meat going on. He's like, hey, man, we're just trying to get these comms fixed. That's it. Yeah. Like, that's all we're doing. And the dream, he's like, this meat is talkative. Like, what is happening? Dude, I was dying. Yeah. I was like, I couldn't contain myself this lot.
Like it's so much happening and like they know what they're trying to do and like they're and it's like not like he can't quite get to the thing because they keep overgrowing like while they're trying to fight off everybody in the Nile and all of that, right? So what happens is they end up talking, they turn around and they're like, okay, what are you even doing here? Like the Nile brought you here, right? Yes, they brought us here because they promised us meats. They're over there killing your meats. What, we don't eat dead meats? They lied to you. Yeah. We hate lying meats. Like, and it gets they basically convinced the Drenjir that the Nile lied to them and broke the deal so that they should leave or like go kill them, right? So they start like attacking some of the Nile in the sky while he goes and starts fixing the thing.
I can't this entire.
So this is what happens, right? Like the Drenjir attack a ship and then they get small and they get in it. and then they fly away.
They like take off. They take off. They get in there because they're pissed. They're like, dude, what the heck? They like promised us food. I guess we're going to go find food somewhere else. Yeah. It's like, yo, get in the car. Let's go. And they jump in the ship and they fly away. Like, what the?
And they fly away and they like hit, like they're doomed. Like they hit a tree on the way out.
They're not flying good. They're like, out of here.
They are like us on the comm tower going like, what just happened right now?
it's chaotic, y'all. Like, I'm telling you, this whole sequence was just chaotic. Yeah. Like, they were like, they just went like, oh, talkative meat. Like, you're talkative. Oh, talkative meat is very good, actually. And then this one's like, oh, you have a fancy light sword. Mm.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
Like,
what's happening?
At first, it's just like weird and crazy. And then they start talking to him. They can start convincing him. And you start seeing where it's going. And then they start fighting. And then these dudes just jump and they're like, out. Like, gone.
Honest, that for me was just. That like floored me when they just like got up and left. I was like, yo, they're just over it. They're here for food. They didn't get their food. They're like, all right, I guess we're gonna go to another planet and go find our meat. But I was like, yo, that's so funny.
That
I just couldn't handle it.
The best thing that I've like, I don't even know where to go with it. And it's so hilarious and random. I don't know how Drenjir work, but clearly they can grow and shrink at will. It's like they were like these big things on this comm tower keeping the whole thing done.
No,
and then
like,
they just got little and then they got in the ship.
They were covering the entire thing. Just as tall. Like it was like almost like unpenetrable. You couldn't even like get through this thing.
Yeah.
And then they just got in. They're like, okay, and shrink and then bounce. And like got in, you know, small enough to get on a ship and go.
And then they drove it.
And they drove it. That's the most crazy part. They drove it. They're like, did you know that they flew? And they're like, well, not very well.
Because
they're
very
like,
well.
Just like, so you can just imagine like just how like awkward, like getting in this thing and like flying like not good out of there.
That has got to be like one of the best, I don't know what, in a book. But like it was something so out of left field that I was dying.
I did not expect that.
So he fixes the thing and he's like missing a part and V-18 comes back with more upgrades and he's like V-18's got missiles. He's like launching missiles at these ships and stuff. And then they're like, oh, did they upgrade you with a comm thing with vortices or something like that? And he's like, yeah, but if you take it, I won't be able to talk. And they're like, cool, 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 cool. Can you hand that over right now?
Yeah, I know. We need it.
Hey, man, I need each part for the part, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
So he fixes the comm tower, and like, you know, if you read The Rising Storm, like this is sort of the turning point.
Mm-hmm.
Or a big part in this battle, you know what I mean? Like, oh, when they fix the Jedi are able to communicate, call for reinforcements and all that. You know, and it's Ram and his homies that sweet talk the Drenjir out of there. Like, they made a bargain.
Yeah. So crazy.
Yeah. So everything kind of like works out, and it goes back a little bit after, and he kind of decides that he doesn't just want to stay there in the garage, and he does want to get out and see different parts of the galaxy. I really need to see each part for the part, and like, not just, you know, so I can understand the whole better.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really, really cool. But he also like wants to go, like travel with Lula, because Lula and them are on the Starhopper.
Yeah. So he wants to go on the Starhopper with them, which is good for us. That means we're going to get more stories with Ram.
Yeah. You would think, right? That he's going to just pop up in comics now.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll see. But that was, it's a really cool, like I said, like the story, it's not quite direct, but it's pretty like straightforward, and it goes in weird places and the Drenjir flies ship. But like the story of these kids, man, like doing their thing is just really, it's really cool. And it's really, I don't even know like if empowering is the right word, but I love like the lessons and the like themes of what this book brings to the table. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, all these young Jedi, you know, rose to the occasion because, you know, they, again, just, if you look at the, you know, this was a big event that does happen in, you know, these stories. And, you know, after, especially if this was just such a nice read after reading Rising Storm.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you just see these young Jedi just rising to the occasion, you know, even though, you know, they definitely do like, you know, beat these odds. And, you know, the fact that they were able to like sway the, you know, these crazy killing, you know, plants into helping them out. It's just, you know, this was just a fun, again, fun read. But yeah, thematic, like just like the themes of just like, you know, every, you know, you could play a big part into this big picture of things. And, you know, you are meant to do good. And you are meant to, you know, be a big help. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think Ram was able to see that. I think that's what helped him grow. And that's why he said, you know what, I probably should leave the garage. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, if I can pull this off, maybe I could be helped somewhere else. And you know what? He was, and not, you know, not just by with the wits of a, you know, a light being, you know, good with the lightsaber and fighting, like he used what he was good at. And that was, you know, he was a mechanic. He loved, you know, he was just really knowledgeable in that way. And then he used, and he was able to use that for good. And again, I think that's just a great lesson that, you know, anyone, we all can take. And, but yeah, I think totally. Yeah. I had a great time reading this book and, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's, you know, I know we're just laughing, you know, just how, you know, insane it was, but, that's the whole fun about it.
Yeah, man.
What's so fun about it.
It's a ride.
But yeah, you can totally see like just the growth that Ram had.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And, you know, and also seeing, Lula just gaining a little confidence in herself also.
Yeah. And really like coming to that little bit of that understanding of that it's like, not that jealousy, but that like, hey, like we all do our own things and like you're scared and I'm scared, but like this is what we do anyway. Like, you know, like this is how you grow, this is how you move. You know what I mean? And I really like that. I just really like that part with her and Vernestra.
Really
well done.
I read
this book before I read The Rising Storm.
No way, that's awesome. Yeah, so okay.
I was like, and I can probably knock this out in a day. Like, whereas I know The Rising Storm is going to take me longer. And also, it's like a Daniel Jose Elder book, so I want it right now.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So I did get to experience this first before knowing all the other stuff that happens with the other characters. And I don't know. I know most people did it the other way. So I don't know how different my experience was, but I know, like, it still all fit together in the end. You know what I mean? Like,
you get, I think it can work both ways like that, you know. So when you're reading The Rise and Storm, and then you get like little, like, you know, you hear Ram, you know, you didn't, you know, spoilers, you know, you get Ram gets mentioned, you're just like, hey, you know. But yeah, it's this big, you know, just like the Great Disaster in Wave One was just like this huge event and everything surrounding that. I think this Wave Two definitely, like, with the, you know, the Republic Fair on Valo and stuff, really just kind of surrounded it. But I talked to someone who also, who has not read the comics or Rising Storm, but read this book. And again, the story just stands on its own, you know, I feel like. So it's not, I don't think it takes away your experience. You know, it doesn't take your experience away from it. But yeah, just a very fun read for sure.
I mean, they're doing a really good job, like, with, I mean, the, you know, like, all the five authors and how much they're collaborating. Like, they're doing a really good job of doing, like, the stories like this that are so enmeshed with each other, but they still stand separate on their own. Like you said, like, somebody read this book and they were like, hey, I didn't read the other ones, but this was cool. Like, you don't have to know the rest or the other side that happens in The Rising Storm. You can still enjoy this just on its own, you know, or vice versa and everything. But everybody, but if you read it all, you get more of the parts for the part, more of the pieces, and get to see more of the whole.
Yeah. Just said, and wrenches, like, enriches it a little bit, you know, you get kind of like that satisfaction of like, oh, okay. Got you know, it. Yeah, for sure.
That's why Ty doesn't have a lightsaber. Ooh, get curious. Don't worry. I got another episode of Rising Storm. You can go listen to that one. Let's see. We got Out of the Shadows coming. I mean, I've read Out of the Shadows, but I know, like, past this book, there's Out of the Shadows. There is, we're getting that audio original Tempest Runner in a couple of weeks. So I'm looking forward to that.
So excited for that one.
And then we're getting a manga, The Edge of Balance, like, the next week after that. So, like, we got some High Republic, and that's all before January, when that, like, the next... No,
the next wave of the first
phase.
It's gonna be insane.
Yeah. So, like you, I am loving High Republic right now. It's one of my favorite, like, things in general happening, just because I love how I feel like they're just so free to tell the stories that they want to tell, that they don't have, you know, like, sometimes, continuity and things like that, they can get so bogged down when you're working with spaces that are already spoken for. So I just really love them being able to start with a clean slate and giving us just these fresh stories that are just like what they want. And these Drengir can just jump up in a ship and be like, peace.
Yeah, that's insane. No, for sure. Like, you get so much freedom, and and that just, again, that must just be so exciting for the, you know, for the creators who get to write these stories, because they don't have to worry about, they're not really kind of tied down of, like, you know, what's canon and what's going on and the timeline and all that stuff. Like, no, you, this is, you know, you're pretty well removed from things that we kind of already know, like the big, you know, as far as like the big story plots and stuff like that. But no, they can totally have fun and, you know, create, it's like almost like you're in Star Wars, where we're just, everyone's so familiar with Star Wars, but it's also like just new world building at the same time. It's so cool.
Like, that's the good thing about Star Wars. It can always keep growing. It's like,
it just, can always keep growing. Sometimes, and we're and we're talking on the day that Star Wars Visions, the trailer was released, and talk about new, insane, amazing stuff that's coming. Like,
that looks rad.
It's so good. Yeah. It's just, it's just an exciting time to be a Star Wars fan. I mean, you just have so much, you know, just so much being offered. And, but yeah, these stories, if you guys are not reading The High Republic, I really cannot stress these stories enough. And if you don't want to read the book, let me tell you, The High Republic Adventure Comics by Daniel Heiselder are just so fun. I would check those out too.
Buckets of Blood is like one of my favorite things in a while. And he, like, I think he's even like mentioned in the book where he's like, oh, and he's like talking about himself in third person and helping people out, like he does. You know, so just like the creators, the stories that they're giving us, and just everything is like really, really getting really well. So let's see. this week, I don't know what I'm going to do next, because now that the Bad Batch is gone, mm-hmm. I'm going to have like more time on the podcast to talk about some other things that are not a show. So I'm probably going to dive into some War of the Bounty Hunters stuff. Mm-hmm. And Lizzie's in town, so we might go back and revisit some old stuff with the kids. So I don't know what I'm going to do next episode. So, hey, stay tuned, people.
Stay tuned, you guys.
Stay tuned. Man, it has been wonderful talking with you today. So real quick again, tell people where they can catch you on the interwebs.
Yeah, you can find me at StarWars_Thrifting on Instagram and StarWarsThrifting on Twitter and also on StarWarsThrifting on YouTube, where I go and find Star Wars collectibles during some thrift adventures. But yeah, I'm constantly posting content daily, but come hang out. I love to talk Star Wars with you.
Sweet. And you can check us out at theroguerebels.com. Go check out our Twitter at Rogue Rebels Fam, and we're on Instagram and something, TikTok, at The Rogue Rebels. So make sure you're subscribed and sharing the podcast around with your friends who love the High Republic, because that's what it's about today.
Ram Jamma Ram.
Flying Drenji.
Let's go.
That's how we're going to the podcast.
We're going to go get meat.
Let's go. Get off this planet, man. They know meat's here.
Yeah, meat.
Dead meat is lame meat.
Nah, we don't like that dead meat.
Nah, none of that. Republic. All right, thank you.
The fate of all Jedi. For control of the Force itself.